How's everybody doing this morning? Good. That's good. Well, listen, we are continuing our series titled Better For It. And this whole series is designed to teach us how we can look for and lean on Jesus when trials come our way, when tough times come our way. How can we find Jesus in the midst of a trial so that we can come out better for it, so that we can come out wiser and stronger people for what we went through? You know, Kim, a couple of weeks ago, Kim said, pain without gain is a shame. If you don't learn something in your pain, you're missing out. You're missing out. So how can we learn from Jesus and let him lead us through these trials? Last week, we talked about how God's word is to be our anchor that we cling to in the midst of storms. God's word, this word right here, has everything that we need in life. It's our anchor. When we read it, when we study it, when we memorize it, when we meditate on it, it is in our hearts. The Bible calls it, I have your word hidden in my heart, so that when troubled times come, that word comes alive and you can lean on it and you can trust in it. Now, I warned the guys up in the sound doing the slides. I'm going to go off script here for a minute. I'm going off script. I have a little something that I believe. Hopefully somebody will hear this, but I felt like this morning, as I was trying to review this sermon, that the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about something, and that is our current events happening in America. And I feel like the Lord is saying too many of my people, too many of my believers, my followers, are putting their trust in man. We're putting our trust in man. We're not putting our trust in this word. Let me give you an example. The past election. The past election. Some people wanted it to go the way it went. Some people did not want it to go the way it went. We had a lot of evangelical leaders prophesy the way they said it was going to go. And it was wrong. We have a lot of solid believers in Jesus following all kinds of stories and conspiracies and things of that nature, and they're getting caught up in teachings of man. And they're not relying on this. And then I read some of these people who did these prophecies, you know. So then they retracted them and they apologized and I'm sorry, I was wrong, whatever. And then they got chewed up again by people who call themselves believers in Jesus. If I'm wrong about something and I apologize, I would hope that somebody would say, I can respect that. You're owning up to it. You know, we don't, and here's the thing. Let me just tell you something. You know, I have a friend. He and I are on opposite ends of the political spectrum. Opposite ends. And whenever he messages me, I love it. Because you know what we have? A conversation. We have respectful conversations. And that's the way it should be. And I believe that it's grieving God's heart because we are putting our trust in man. Romans chapter 9 and Romans chapter 13. God is the one who puts people in positions of authority. You know, in Romans chapter 9, God says, I allowed the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to be in charge so that my glory would be shown. Ready for this? For 400 years, the Israelites, God's chosen people, were held captive and slaves to the Egyptians. For 400 years, God was building a nation out of his people. So we might be confused and we might not understand what is going on, but if we do not trust in the Word of God, all we're doing is bringing confusion to ourselves. Amen? All right. Okay. Now, back to our sermon. Really. Respect where your friends are at politically. Respect it. And lean on the Word of God. Lean on God's Word. All right. So today, we're going to look at how we can follow Jesus through times of trouble. Because here's the deal. We're all going to be in trouble sometimes. We can all, when we find ourselves in a situation, we can look back at the past few weeks, the past few months, and we can say, I really should not have been hanging out with that person. Or because of what I started doing, this is what brought these troubles on. Right? Sometimes we're smart enough to see that. Everybody else around us sees it. But then oftentimes we're doing everything right. We're reading the Word, we're memorizing it, we're meditating on God's goodness. And then the next thing you know, we're asking ourselves, why is this happening? Why is this financial crisis happening? Why am I looking for a job? The company went out of business. Why is this happening? Why am I in the throes of depression? Why is this happening? I was doing everything right. It is in these times that our faith in Jesus is tested. Our faith might be rocked a little bit, but again, if we lean on Him, there's a short little three-chapter book in the Old Testament by a prophet named Nahum. He's what we call a minor prophet. He only gets three chapters. But he gave a message of God's judgment for I believe, the nation of Assyria. He was giving a message. But in his message, he starts out and he gives some characteristics of God that I believe, if I'm in a time of trouble, I'm going to lean on this. Listen to what he says. God displays his power in the whirlwind and the storm. The billowing clouds are the dust beneath his feet. The Lord is good, a strong refuge when trouble comes. He is close to those who trust him. If you're going through a storm in life right now, I suggest you write those down. You talk to God about them. God, your word says you display your power in the whirlwind and in the storm. I need to see it. You see, sometimes we need to be prepared for Jesus to lead us through a storm. Maybe the clouds and all this stuff in your life that you're thinking shouldn't be there is the dust of his feet that you need to be following. And I'll give you a couple of examples. There's two times in the Gospels when the disciples were caught up in a storm on the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee was a huge lake. And the disciples, most of them were fishermen. So being in a boat in the middle of the night in a storm was, I would assume, kind of common for them. But the Bible says they feared for their life. And, well, so the one, Jesus is in the boat with them sleeping, and the waves start picking up, and the winds pick up, and the rain's coming down, and they fear for their life. And they wake him up. And he wakes up, and he says, "Peace, be still." I'm pretty sure he yelled. And the storms calmed. And it says the disciples marveled at this. And they were like, who is this man who calms the storms of the sea? Another time, again, they were following Jesus. They were putting their trust in him. And they were doing as he instructed. He said, get in the boat, cross the sea, I'll meet you later. And this wasn't outside of the norm for Jesus. He was known for going off and by himself to spend time with the Father. So they did what he told them to do. Next thing you know, a storm comes whipping up. The waves are splashing around, the rains and the winds. And here comes Jesus walking on the water. So these are two times when the disciples were doing everything right. They were caught up in a storm, a literal storm, where they feared for their life. But it was in these storms that they saw the truth of the power of Jesus displayed before their very eyes. I have to believe, if I'm guessing correctly here, their faith and their trust in him grew exponentially after that. And think about what they told their friends after that. I mean, you wouldn't believe. Think about the storms in your life, and when Jesus calms that storm, do you keep it to yourself, or do you tell your friends? If I was one of the disciples and I was fearing for my life, and Jesus calmed the storm, I don't think I could contain it. Because when I see a storm coming in my life, my reaction is to run for cover. I want to go around it. I really don't want to deal with it. And my prayers sound a lot like this: Jesus, please get me out of this. Take this away from me. I know you can do it. I need your help. When really what I should be saying is, God, help me see you in this. Help me gain the perspective in the midst of this storm that I need to have so that I can see your power displayed. So that I can know that you are a strong refuge for me in times of trouble. I know you are close to me, Lord God, but I need to sense your presence. Because what trust in Jesus does is it helps us to have a better perspective on the storm in life. I worked with this gentleman one time years ago, and some of you may have known him. His name was Kurt, and he was with the Salvation Army, and we were teamed up with them for quite a while, and we would go to the Salvation Army Church in Worthington, and we would make food, and it was a food ministry for the homeless. And I saw this man. We would go into different areas downtown and give out food, and people would come out like it was the ice cream truck. Children, families, older people, younger people, kids, everybody. But I saw this man. He would take the belt off his pants, the gloves off his hands, the hat. He even took the shirt off his back one day to give to somebody. And then one day he calls me and he says, Pastor Chip, that's how we talked. He said, Pastor Chip, I got some bad news. And I was thinking like the truck broke down or we weren't going to do food this weekend. He said, I got cancer. He had cancer. And I was like, oh no. And so I would go visit him in the hospital and stuff. And let me tell you something. I learned a lot from this man. Because his perspective in the midst of the biggest storm of his life was something that I've never seen before. I would be in the hospital with him and he would be in so much pain. But as soon as a nurse or a doctor walked in, the pain on his face went away. And he would find a way to present to them the gospel. He was making little word games and crossword puzzles and all kinds of things. And he would have one of his daughters go print them off so he could give them to the nurses. Have you finished that crossword puzzle yet? Because number three is one that I want you to learn. Kurt is no longer with us today. You know what one of the things Kurt said to me? He said, Pastor Chip, he said, I know God can heal me. And I have plenty more work to do on this earth. If he can heal me, that's great. But if he doesn't, that's great too, because I get the ultimate healing. I get to be with my Creator. And that's where Kurt is right now. But you know what? His perspective in the midst of a storm was life-changing for people that came into his room. And I learned from that man. So we're going to look at another man's perspective in the midst of storms, and his name is Paul. The Apostle Paul. Paul wrote most of the New Testament. He went around, traveled around the Mediterranean area and all over the place, and he set up these churches, and that's what the New Testament is mostly made of, is the letters written to these churches. Now, for Paul's faith in Jesus, he was beaten, he was whipped, he was stoned and left for dead, and eventually, he was put in prison for life. Now, my story when he was stoned and left, or the story when he was stoned and left for dead is one of my favorites, because the people that threw the rocks at him went back into the town. Paul got up, shook the dust off of himself, probably wiped his face off, and walked back into that town. I would have loved to have been there for that. But listen to this. Let's read what Paul had to say about troubles. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to be in here most of all morning, really. Well, not all morning. It's for a few minutes. Chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. This is what Paul's talking about. We are pressed on every side. And also, just so you know, I've been teaching out of the New Living Translation lately, so it's in case you're wondering. I've just lately have been finding out that it's a little bit easier to teach from. So I love studying from the New King James, but if you want to follow the translation I'm reading from, it's the New Living Translation. So we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. Our dying bodies. So every day our bodies decay a little bit more and more. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. Then jump down to verse 16. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Now that last verse there, that is what I call a supernatural, eternal perspective on things. The things that we can see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Forever. You see, sometimes Jesus will lead us through a storm because he knows how refined we will be when we come out of it. Again, I want to make this very clear. I said this last week, I believe. I do not believe that Jesus causes us to be sick or stricken with a disease or an illness so that we can be refined. I do not believe that, and I have yet to be convinced of that. We live in a sinful world where our bodies are decaying and sin is prevalent. And because of that, we have sickness and disease and death. And someday we will be in heaven where none of that will be. But until then, it's kind of like this. Back to the gardening analogy, farming analogy. Jesus often used farming. And myself, we're getting towards the end of February, so I am getting ready to think about and order all of my seeds and stuff for my garden. Ivana, are you with me? I've been talking to people about gardening lately. That's what we do. I mean, gardening is the best hobby out there where you spend hundreds of dollars to save $4 in vegetables. I am well aware of that, Kim. I am well aware of that. But listen to this. Listen to this. When I plant a seed in the ground, like I'm getting my little peat pots and all my things and the lights are ready and everything for down in the basement, a seed goes into the dirt, right? You put it in the dirt. And when tended in a way that will bring life to that seed, you water it, you might fertilize it. Mine's all organic, so no chemicals. You tend to it. You might talk to them, right, Ivana? Like, I'm a tough love. I'm like, you better get you. You tend to that seed, right? While that seed is in the ground, it has the potential to come out of the ground and become a beautiful plant, a flower, a vegetable, a fruit, something. But at first, the seed does not know what is happening until the process of transformation takes place. You see, the seed is in the ground. It's in the dirt. If you are the seed, what may seem like neglect when buried in the ground is actually the proper way to care for the seed. And each seed is different for how long it takes to germinate and for the transformation process to take place. And every one of us is different too. See what I'm saying? We're all different. Every seed is different. I can put seeds in the dirt, and some will sprout up within a couple of days. But then others will take weeks. I'm like, oh, I get some bad seeds, what do I do? But I have to trust the process. And then, you know what? It's usually the ones that look like they're not going to make it that end up being the biggest plant come August that produces the most. 2 Corinthians verse 8 says this. 4 verse 8. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Do you notice something about this passage here? There's a lot of commas in it. Okay? You ready for this? Never put a period where God is putting a comma in your life. Your troubles are not a sentence. Oftentimes, they are the beginning of a greater story. Your current troubles may be the start of something new. Often when we're in trouble in life and we're stricken with something, loss of a job or a relationship or anxiety, depression, an illness, a bad diagnosis, isn't it that we think that this is the end of it all? I'm doomed. How am I going to get out of this? I don't see a way out of this. And God is saying, you are on the troubled side of a comma right now. That's where you're at. And we should be asking, Jesus, where are you? How can I learn from this situation so that I can see you in this situation? Where are you at in the midst of my trouble so I can follow you through this storm? It's all about perspective. Which side of the comma are we in life? If we're living on the troubled side, maybe you've got some troubles right now, then you are feeling pressed on every side. You are feeling perplexed, knocked down, abandoned. And this would probably be how the seed feels when it's put in the ground, in the dirt. It's a dark season. We may not know why we're going through the troubled times, but we need to cling to Jesus and trust the process. Start reading this word. Get into it. You know, when we just open this book up when we're having troubles, we're not going to hear from God as much as we would if we were reading it on a regular basis. Maybe we've recently come out of a storm, or we're in a good place in life right now. Things are going well. Well, then you would be what I would call on the trusting side of the comma. We're not crushed. We're not driven to despair. We're not destroyed, and we're not feeling abandoned by God. And that is why Paul said later on in verse 16, that is why we never give up. Never, ever, ever give up. Paul was stoned to death and left for dead. They threw rocks at him and left him for dead. He got up and he walked back into that town. Never get up. Never accept defeat. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Life is going to contain ups and downs. Life ebbs and flows. We're going to have troubles, but they are nothing compared to what eternity in life, what eternity in heaven will bring. And during the troubles, a process of transformation is taking place. And if we allow it, the character of Jesus will develop more and more in our lives as we follow him through and out of that storm. Joy will grow out of sorrow. Patience will grow out of adversity. Peace will grow out of struggles. Compassion will grow out of suffering. So how long will it take? How long will these troubles last? That's the million-dollar question. That is the million-dollar question. The process is determined by God. The more we cling to him, the more we trust in him, the more we understand the process. Some seeds will come up in a few days, and some will take weeks. But God knows what he's doing. If I rush the growth of a seed, which I'm tempted to do, come on, little buddy, and I want to see what's going on, and I dig that seed up, I have hindered and probably ruined the transformation process of that seed. We got to just cling to God. We got to trust the process. We have to trust that he knows what's best for us. Maybe you have a bad diagnosis and you're in and out of the doctor's office and you don't understand why. Maybe in the midst of that storm, God has people for you to reach for his kingdom. And in the midst of that storm, your healing will come. But there's people he wants you to reach. Maybe in the throes of that depression, that is a dark, dark place, when you come out of it, God will bring somebody in your life and you can give them some hope. I know it's dark now, but listen, I've been there. I will see you through this. And you will have scripture and passages hidden in your heart to give that person hope. We have to trust that God is in control, that his power is displayed in the whirlwind and in the storm, and that he is close to those who trust in him. He is a refuge to those during times of trouble. And so I'll wrap this up. I'll end it with this. See, when Jesus leads us through a storm, more times than not, there are multiple purposes for it. He knows we didn't ask for it. He knows we don't want to deal with this sickness. He knows that we weren't expecting the loss of that job to happen. He knows that we didn't understand why the relationship that we thought was the best in the world didn't work out. He knows why we are at where we are at. We need to know that he is in control. Maybe he's got a better job for you lined up. Just look for it. Follow him. Maybe he has a better relationship for you to be in. Look for him and follow him. Because listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll just read it. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. See that? When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Does that not give you some hope? That is the gospel right there. That tells me that Jesus is, there's a purpose and a plan for everything. We just have to look for it. Our troubles become a part of our story. And we can use our story to comfort others who are going through the same storm we've been through or something similar. Then, we may just lead someone into the loving arms of Jesus as he leads them through and out of the storm that they're in. In a world of confusion, and we know it's confusing out there right now, people are longing for peace. And how great will the peace be when we share with them the love of Jesus in the midst of a storm? Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for these passages that we read this morning, God. They breathe life into our spirits. If we allow them to sink into our hearts, they will become life to us in times of need. And God, I pray for anybody going through a storm right now where the light bulb went off. My goodness, I'm on the troubled side of the comma. But you're not going to be there forever. And as we head into a time of worship, Jesus, I pray that you would speak to each one of us. Give us some life. Give us that lifeline that we need in you, Jesus. So that we can know that you are with us, you are for us, and we trust in you. And we pray this in Jesus' name.